Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning the 14th perek of Sefer Shoftim. We've met the parents of Shimshon. Now we are meeting Shimshon himself. The next few chapters are going to be a discussion, an in-depth discussion of Shimshon himself. It's going to be we're going to go up and down when we see Shimshon. There's going to be a roller coaster of emotion where we are so proud of him and we're sort of also distance ourselves from him. And we're going to see the people at his time had the same sort of roller coaster of emotions when they looked at Shimshon. It's very complicated. Here's how it starts. The first thing we're already told about him as an adult, but besides the general facts that that Hashem's Ruach resides upon him, we're told that he goes down to Timnah and he sees a Philistine girl, and he goes up and tells his parents that he wants to marry her. Now, just to be clear, if we're going to follow this word, vayered, then he goes down. It's going to be a word which appears again and again in this perek. He goes down, he goes down, he goes down. Of course, moving from the mountains down to the coastal plain of Gaza is actually descending to sea level, but it's also a spiritual decline which is being expressed over here. It is fascinating that Timnah is also the place that Yehuda in Parshas Vayeshev goes down to and marries Tamar. There's some sort of parallel here later on of Shimshon, who's from the tribe of Dan, going down to Timnah and marrying this other woman. It sounds like there is a debate in the Mephoreshim if she converts or not. Most of the Mephoreshim assume that she must have converted. That's what he wanted. But nonetheless, the parents still say to him, Shimshon, Bubala, aren't there any good Jewish girls, Israelite girls you can find? But he says, no, she's the one I want to marry. He Yashra Be'enai, she's the one I want to marry. Okay. So they didn't actually realize that Hashem was orchestrating what was going on over here. And they go along with him. They move down to sort of work out the wedding celebrations. As they're moving down towards Timnah, they're separated at the vineyards on the outskirts of Timnah. Shimshon is found by himself and he's attacked by a young lion which attacks him. And the spirit of Hashem descends upon Shimshon, and he immediately rips him into pieces without any weapon, and he doesn't even tell anybody that he just killed this lion. They meet in Timnah in the meantime, and he says this is her, and they make the wedding arrangements. In the meantime, as Shimshon passes by that area outside the vineyard again, he notices he notices in the carcass of this lion is growing a beehive, and there's beautiful honey being produced there. And he takes the honey back and he feeds it to his parents, but again, he doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell anybody that it came from this from the lion itself. The story continues that they make the arrangements for the wedding, and they make a party, which is after the wedding. And at this party, Shimshon says to the young men, obviously Philistine men, he says, you know, let's play a game. I'm going to give you a riddle. If you work out the riddle by the end of the 7 days of celebrating, then I'm going to have to pay you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments, which obviously is a, you know, very expensive, you know, deal. You know, even today, 30 changes of garments is not something to scoff at, and certainly in those days. And he says, and if you don't guess it, then you owe it to me. I said, okay, sure. So what's the riddle? So he says the following. Listen to his words. He says, Me'a ochel yotzo ma'achal, from the food leaves, from the eater leaves food, and from the strong leaves sweetness. Now, obviously, he's referring to the lion that he killed, which was the eater, which has food now coming out of it. And from that, which was strong, which was the lion, is now coming out something sweet. That's what he meant. But they had no idea what he's talking about. He says, you should go find the riddle. And so for 3 days, they're racking their brains. They have no idea. And then they decide, you know what, there's a simpler way to get the solution. So they turn to his wife, his newly wedded wife, we don't know her name, and they say, seduce your husband to tell us the riddle, and context is, if you don't, we're going to burn down your house, and your father's inheritance. Oh, wow, okay. So she cries to him and cries and begs and cries, and he says, I haven't told my parents, why should I tell you? And she says, you hate me, you don't love me, and finally he breaks down on the seventh day, he tells her the story. And so comes the deadline, end of the feast, and the young men come back to them, to Shimshon, and say, you know, we're just thinking, you know, what could be sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion? You know, as if they, like, you know, just thought of it right then on the philosopher's rock. And so Shimshon says, the only reason why You know this is because he says, "Hacharashtem beeglasi." You plowed with my calf, meaning to say you used my wife, and the ruach of Hashem succeeds upon on him. He runs to Ashkelon, which is one of the strongholds of the Philistines, again somewhat near the Gaza area even today. And he kills 30 people, 30 Philistines, takes their clothes and returns them to the people who told him the riddle, and then returns to his father's house, and his wife marries somebody else. Very strange story. The whole thing is strange on all levels. Just a few things to concentrate on when we're looking at this is, number one, what is Shimshon doing by himself when the lion attacks him? Wasn't he walking down with his parents to Timnah? So the Malbim points out an interesting thing is that the reason why he was by himself was because he was next to a vineyard. And we, as the Gemara says, schor schor amrin lin nizira, that we say go around the vineyard. Don't even go through a vineyard. Don't go through where the grapes are. So here you have an interesting thing. Here you have Shimshon, who is a Nazir, who's so concerned not even to walk through a vineyard, but he's going to marry a Philistine girl. Like, there's something a little strange about this whole story. We have to ask ourselves, and we're going to have to concentrate on this, not today, but God willing, when we finish the Shimshon story, what's he doing? Why is he doing this? But it's very strange. So he's taking this extra caution over here not to go into the vineyard, which is why he meets this lion. And in the meantime, he's going to marry this Philistine girl. Now, when we focus on this riddle that he gives them, you know, I don't know, but generally when you're given a riddle, there's some way you can work it out, right? Meaning there has to be some logical, format. There has to be something you can internally resolve. He's giving them something impossible. So the Mepharshim debate, what was really going on over here? And so the Mamloez says, yes, he was asking them an impossible riddle because he was looking for a way to create a fight. He was looking to create some sort of discord over here, which is what he got. Whereas the Malbim says, no. If you read the words carefully, he actually gave them the answer. He says, search for this and find the answer. He wasn't saying, think about it. He says, walk around the town and you'll find the answer. And they didn't do that. They didn't pick up his scent. So was it answerable? A debate as to whether it was answerable. When he gets angry at the end, it's interesting. You know, how founded was his anger? So the way he describes the way that they used his wife, and the fact that she marries somebody else afterwards gives us the indication that maybe it wasn't just that they asked a favor from her, but that there was a really adultery going on over here as well. And that's what he suspected, and that was clear what happened because she married one of the boys at the feast afterwards. So clearly there was more than just breaking of a secret here. There was a breaking of a relationship, which has sort of led him to this angry cycle. Now what we're going to see, which is interesting about Shimshon, is that if you were to ask anybody, including the Philistine newspapers at the time, is Shimshon justified in doing this? They would say, yeah, well, look, the guy's angry, you know, the trust is broken, marriage is broken. We understand, you know, it's not a nice thing to do, to go and do this, but we can understand where he's coming from. What's fascinating to us is from the inside perspective, we're being told by Tanakh, by Titzlach Olav Ruach Hashem, that this was in fact a God-ordained moment. This is almost his leadership as a shofet is involved in this. So there's two perspectives. On the one hand, he is doing something godly by protecting Israel and killing Philistines. But on the other hand, from their side, they understand. They think about it as something, well, yeah, we understand, you know, he's angry. We're going to see the reprisal, but we're going to see it's interesting that everything he does is going to be very personal. Everything he's going to do is very much about relationships, is very much about his own personal vendetta. And we have to think about how this leadership style and model of Shimshon is going to differ from all the previous Shoftim and why that is so. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.